Well, personal integrity is keeping to a strict moral code, some would say. It's certainly about being sound and dependable and trustworthy, of reliable character. And integrity is a quality that is sought after. You can never have too much integrity, can you, in your life? If you do not have integrity in your life, then what you do have is a problem. Some people of a certain age will remember a Hollywood actor of the, 30s and 40s called Errol Flynn. He was something of a swashbuckler. But he had a friend, another actor called David Niven. And this is what David Niven said of Errol Flynn. He said, "You always knew where you were with him because he always let you down." Now, we don't need friends like that, do we? And we personally don't want to be like that. And Proverbs gives us lots of help in this area. Talks about integrity on a number of occasions. It's here in the verses that you have on the sheet. But it uses other words as well, which are pretty similar, like Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 4, finding favor and high esteem. Why are you held in high esteem? Because you're a person who's known to have integrity. Or Proverbs 22 and verse 1, a good name. Why do you have a good name? Because people understand that you are reliable and trustworthy and honest. Now, it may well be worth saying this just as we start out, as we look Sunday by Sunday at the Bible, we rely on God's word having integrity, don't we? And in fact, the Bible itself will speak of that in various places that you might be able to think of. Psalm 119, verse 105 is one of them, isn't it? "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So God's word illuminates our lives, doesn't it? We can be absolutely sure that God's word will never damage us. God's word will never lead us into places where we shouldn't be. And chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, right at the front of our sheet. Why were Proverbs written? Well, they were written in order that we would know what it was to be wise. But can you see right at the end of verse 3? These are the kind of elements, aren't they, of integrity? We should be just. We should exercise right judgment and equity. These are descriptions of the kind of people that we ought to be. So God's word has integrity in itself, and God's word promotes integrity in us as well. So how do you acquire this quality of integrity? We've often gone back to a couple of verses that I think are really key in the book of Proverbs. They're Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It may well be that you know these verses off by heart. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Really key verses, those. And one of the things that we've mentioned before is that when you're on the ropes, when your life is in a mess, there are only two places really that you can go. You can either trust in God or you can trust in yourself. But when it talks about trusting in yourself, not leaning on your own understanding, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are absolutely convinced that you yourself and your own resources and so on can save you. What it really means is that in a fix, you go to any place rather than to the Lord God. You will do anything and follow anything. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, I saw an example of this. Now, this is a cutting from a national newspaper, a big national newspaper. It was on a Saturday. This happens to be the sports section. And it was talking about a professional football team. This is a team that plays in League Division One. They're all professional footballers. And this is something that it said of one of their players. I won't give his name, but he's a midfielder for this football team. And it said around 2 p.m. today, because it was FA Cup day, the midfielder will begin the routine. Emerging from the home dressing room prior to the side's FA Cup tie against Millwall, he will pick out a set of crystal stones from his bag and, aided by teammates, lay them in the goal mouths. He believes the stones impart a positive energy. For almost a year now, he's kept a set of stones with him at almost all times, chosen from a pool of about 25 of all different shapes and sizes. If I start thinking about something, then I realise I've got the stones on me. I snap out of it straight away, he says. The ones I use are for positive energy and to try and help my mind. Hopefully nothing bad happens without them on my way home. The way they work is that you charge them by the moon and the sun, and you bury them in soil. You can leave them out in the sun, really, to charge them up, and then intentions come out of them. And when you feel like you've lost that intention, you recharge them under the moon. Now, when I read that, I hope you're not a supporter of this football team. But when I read that, I was reminded of something that G.K. Chesterton, the Victorian writer, once said. He said, when men cease to believe in God, it's not that they believe in nothing. It means they're capable of believing in anything. As this man and his football team are. Really the most ridiculous things. Lean not on your own understanding doesn't mean just what's in your head, but reaching out to all kinds of other areas that do not involve the Lord God. Well, Proverbs chapter 1 through to chapter 9 are a series of talks, really, from a father to a son or to his children. And what those chapters are saying is, within the book of Proverbs are wise words. These words have integrity. If you listen to these words and you obey these words, your life will go well. So what are some of these proverbs that we have in front of us? What is this integrity that we're called to? Proverbs 26, verse 23 to 25. If you read those three verses through, it appears as if this person is the real deal. But actually, this person trades on deceit. Nothing about them is quite what it seems. What we have here is a severe integrity shortfall. And for us as well, the greater the disparity between the words that we speak and the life that we live, the less integrity that we have. And Proverbs 26, 23 to 25 gives us a warning as well. Verse 25 requires us to do something, doesn't it? If you look at that verse, it's telling us, exercise judgment. Part of wisdom is understanding when a person lacks integrity, that what they are saying to you is not the truth. And if you ever put yourself in the hands of a man like this, you will find yourself in a whole heap of trouble. You see the verse above it, Proverbs 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. Well, you don't want to go to the dentist, do you? None of us want to go there. But it is similar if you put your confidence in somebody who lacks integrity. So be warned by Proverbs 26. What is integrity like? What is it better than? Well, if you were to ask your colleagues at work, suppose you were to say to them, I'm going to give you a blank check, carte blanche. You can have whatever it is that you want. I have the power to give it to you. It's a bit like the, what God said to Solomon, wasn't it? You know, when he came to him in a dream at night. Whatever you want. What would they choose? What would your friends ask for? I think that probably quite a few of our friends might ask for something that is mentioned in Proverbs 22, verse 1 here. A lot of people would ask for wealth, great riches. And you could understand why they'd do that, can't you? Because wealth, in some respects, as they might see it, gets you out of a lot of holes, doesn't it? Wealth can fix a lot of problems, they may well say. And we know that a lot of people think that way because there are huge industries based on it. It's quite remarkable nowadays, isn't it? If you walk down the high street or you read newspapers or you watch some sporting event on television and the adverts between, there are so many ways in which companies are wanting you to bet on the outcome of things. So, you know, whether it's Skybet or Coral or William Hill or Betfair or Paddy Power, there's so many of them, and even a national lottery. Now, what does a Christian think about these things? There's probably a lot of things we could say about it, couldn't we? But here is one in particular. What they try to do is to make you chase after the wrong thing. Millions follow the lottery on a Saturday night, don't they? But there are things quoted in Proverbs that tell us that there are far better things than a jackpot that you should be seeking. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Wisdom. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, better than fine gold. And here in Proverbs 22, verse 1, you see what is better than great riches? Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, choose a good name rather than winning the lottery. Because these things, wisdom and a good name, will always be a better payoff in your life than wealth. Integrity is also about guarding your heart. Now, we have valuable things at home, don't we, all of us? And we tend to put valuable things under lock and key, don't we? Because we know that there are influences out there that are seeking to take them away from us. If you have a PC or a laptop or a tablet at home, you would not think of operating it, would you, without an antivirus system? Because it's valuable to you. And here in the book of Proverbs, it tells us, chapter 4 and verse 23, we need to watch the security of something else even more diligently. And that's your heart. Because out of your heart are the issues of life. Our heart, from a biblical point of view, is the command and control center of our lives. Our hearts determine what we choose to do. Our hearts determine the direction of our lives. Our hearts give us our life view on things. So if your heart is good, your life will be good. So guard your heart, it says in Proverbs 4:23. Make a positive choice about what your life is exposed to. That's why later on in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, tells us, whatever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report, think on these things. Expose your heart to things that are good, and keep the firewall around to protect you from things that are unhelpful. Guard your heart. Integrity is also about, again, chapter 4, verse 23 to 27, about day in, day out processes. Now, it's true, isn't it, that a good name can sometimes be won by some remarkable thing that you do. However, in the main, it's largely about every day keeping on doing the same good things. It's repeatable exercises. That's what it's got here in chapter 4. And you see, eye straight ahead, the path of your feet, step after step, don't turn to the right or to the left. It's the daily dogged discipline of doing right things. I have a book at home. I can't remember exactly what's in it, but it's a book about the Psalms. And the title of the book is Slogging Along in the Paths of Righteousness. And that is what you will have to do for integrity. Every single day, making good choices, and so on. And Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. It almost tells us that this high esteem or integrity or a good name comes as a byproduct of something else. What you need to be doing is demonstrating mercy and truth. And if you do that, high esteem will come. It's like that adage, isn't it? Look after the pennies and the pounds will look after themselves. So be merciful in your life and be truthful in your words and so on. Now, integrity is won over a long period of time, this good name. But it can also be lost. You can win a good name, but anything that you can win, you can also lose. And the irony is this, that whilst it might take a lifetime to win a good name, you can actually lose it in a moment, can you? Just a few weeks ago, Helen and I went to the National Gallery in London and the Portrait Gallery and so on. And for those of you who have been there are so many really good paintings, aren't there, by Constable and Renoir and Monet and Van Gogh and so on. And huge masterpieces. And many people would say each of those masterpieces, in a way, took a lifetime to create. But as you stand there in front of the paintings, you can get really close, can't you? And you know, if you were quick enough and you wanted to, you could destroy them in a couple of seconds, couldn't you, with a knife or an aerosol before the security men got to you. You can destroy a masterpiece in seconds, and you can build up a good name over a long period of time, and yet you can lose the good name by a bad decision in a moment. That's why Proverbs chapters 1 through to 9, before the single verse Proverbs come into play, those speeches that are made there are about good choices and decisions and so on, because there are some choices that you can make. And often we regard Proverbs 1 to 9 speaking to young people, but maybe this is, it's true of everybody, but maybe it's very much for young people. There are things that you can do, choices that you can make in youth that can ruin your lives, because the repercussions are irreversible. So don't make those mistakes. Know God's word and what it's telling you to do. Job, one of the other wisdom books. You remember right at the beginning of the book of Job, you've got great loss for him, haven't you? He loses his children, he loses his servants, he loses his property, he loses his livestock, he loses his health. And his wife comes out to him and says, how long will you hold on to your what? What's the word that comes next? Integrity. It's that word here, isn't it? And you will find that there will be moments in our lives when we are subject to great stress and great loss and so on. And it's in those moments that you are most tempted to simply ditch your integrity and do something foolish. But to lose your integrity is always, always great loss. And integrity is important because people watch what you do. How do people get their understanding about what Christianity is? Well, I would say probably that by and large, it's not that someone who's not a Christian picks up the Bible and then starts reading in Genesis and doesn't stop until they get through to Revelation. That's not, generally speaking, how people get their understanding of Christianity. Nor is it that an individual might go down to the cathedral bookshop and ask for a book on systematic theology and then start on the first page and go all the way through and then say, that's what Christianity is. That's how I understand what it's about and so on. That's not how they do it. How do people get their understanding of what Christianity is? They watch you as a Christian. They see what you do. They watch where you go. They get to understand your thinking. And then they make the assumption that what he or she says or does is an example of orthodox Christian thinking. So, for all of us, be very careful to hold on to our integrity so that others who are not Christians don't get a wrong view about what we believe. What does integrity do as well? Well, integrity, according to chapter 11, verse 3, does something very important for us. What's your doctrine of guidance? Perhaps your doctrine of guidance is to get a Sinclair Ferguson book and read that and find all the answers. But I would guess that for most of us, we would say, you want guidance? Know God's word. That's a thing to do, isn't it? You want to know God's guidance? Pray about matters. Seek out a mature Christian. Maybe you would take account of circumstances, a number of different ways that you may be guided. But here is one as well, isn't it? Proverbs 11 and verse 3. What guides us here? The integrity of the upright. That is to say, having this consistent lifestyle of doing the right thing day in, day out will actually prove to be an element of guidance in your life, doing that right thing. And there's a generational effect as well. For those here who are parents with younger children, let me ask you a question. What is the most, or one of the most valuable things that you can give to your children? Well, you ask people in the Into Center tomorrow morning, they might say, the most important thing I can give to my children is, well, it's education, 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 isn't it? That's fairly simple to know that. Or others might say, well, just give them a happy childhood. Let them see as much of the world as possible before they're teenagers. Or pay their university fees. But one of the best things that you can give them, apparently, 20 verse 7, is your integrity as a parent. Because if you live a life of integrity before your children, you will actually leave to them a legacy that is lasting and valuable. Here's something else integrity brings. Chapter 10, verse 9. Whoever does not want security in their lives. Well, you know, we can sometimes have this fear of financial ruin, can't we? Or we fear loss of health or loss of relationship. But where do you find the sort of security that you really need? It's here in chapter 10, verse 9. because the person who walks with integrity, in effect, walks securely. Because to lack integrity is to live on the edge of being found out. And you don't want to be there. You can never have a better policy against your life unraveling than to live a life of integrity. So, what have we said so far? We've said God's word has integrity. God's word calls us to be people of integrity. But God's word also makes us aware of something, doesn't it? God's word makes us acutely aware of the fact that none of us have lived this life of integrity. There is this desperate shortfall, isn't there, between what we have called to be and what we have actually been. And that brings judgment. And only God can bring an answer to that problem. So the Lord God launched this rescue plan, didn't he? And if we can call it the salvation plan, this salvation plan has to have integrity itself in order to work. It's got to be better than our plans, hasn't it? If God was going to develop a plan that is going to solve the problem of judgment and justice for us, it's got to have more integrity about it, more robustness than our own plans. Because our own plans, they just take a dive, don't they? You know, you have plans for the summer holiday and it rains. Or when you were young, you decided what you wanted to be and where you wanted to go and so on, and you could never quite make it happen. Or you have plans for your children, and then they go and do something completely different. Why do my plans fail? My plans fail because I haven't got the power, and I haven't got the resources, and I haven't got the wisdom to make them come about. And God's salvation plan has to be better than that. And it is, isn't it? It has integrity. Here was a plan that was signed and sealed in eternity past and required no amendments at all. You know, when we come to the New Testament, we're never reading Gospel version 1.3, are we? You know, there's been a revision. You know, a few hiccups along the way, and God has had to reissue the gospel. It's never been like that, has it? We once, many years ago, were involved in a Christianity Explained group with a lady who happened to be our neighbour, actually. And we were talking, you know, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, in your Bibles, you've got a single page, haven't you? A single blank page, usually, that announces the start of the New Testament. And it represents about 400 years of time in actuality. And we were talking about what this 400 years represented. And she said, well, during that time, was God trying to decide what to do next? That's interesting, isn't it? Was God trying to figure out what he'd do next in response to how mankind had rejected him and rebelled and so on? It's not the case, is it? Because God's plan was fixed and firm from eternity past. Doesn't need amendment. Doesn't need a variation. Doesn't need changing. And it's a plan that's just. It takes account of all wrongdoing. It's a plan that demonstrates mercy to those who plead for it. And it must be as well. If it is to be a plan of integrity, it must be executed by a man of integrity, mustn't it? It can't be like you and me. It has to be a special man. And so it is. As the gospel is announced, right at the beginning of John's gospel, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness. Here comes the man of integrity to execute a plan that has integrity. So, what have we said? God's word has integrity. The gospel has integrity. The Saviour has integrity. And he calls us, and God's word calls us, and Proverbs calls us to be the kind of people who live lives that are trustworthy and reliable and honest, so that people can see in us a reflection of the Saviour.